You are listening to The News Project, in studio. Brought to you by GNAT TV.
They've been hard not to notice. Employers are seeking employees at a rate that hasn't been seen in a long time. Vermont's labor force was already tight before the COVID-19 pandemic upended normal life as we knew it before March 2020. But the upheaval in the normal functions of the economy made that situation even more severe. There are a lot of theories out about why so many jobs are hard to fill. Some argue that the topped-up unemployment benefits have discouraged people from working, since they are obtaining an equivalent amount of income while not working and saving on some expenses, childcare being one that's often mentioned. Others debunk that theory, noting that the enhanced benefits ended earlier this year and cite factors like COVID concerns, low wages, childcare, and also seeing the pandemic as an opportunity to rethink career choices. Currently, Vermont's unemployment rate is about 3%, a figure that not long ago was considered full employment, but there are also fewer people in the labor force, according to the state's Department of Labor. To get a better handle on what's going on in the labor market, we talked with Matt Barrowitz, the Vermont Department of Labor's Chief of Economic and Labor Market Information, and Wendy Morris, the Regional Manager for the Department's offices in Bennington and Rutland.
I mean, there's been an awful lot of conversation basically around the entire country, I guess, about jobs going unfilled, employers struggling to fill positions, workers leaving their jobs. But what is the view from your perspective?
Sure. Thank you. Thank you for having us this morning, Andrew. Appreciate it. I think it's important that we start pre-pandemic just to kind of have a discussion of how the labor force was looking then. So it seems like a very long time ago, but even back in 2017, 2018, the Vermont labor force was experiencing tightness. And there was evidence of that based on rising wages. So the economic theory behind that is as the competition for labor increases, so will wages. So the pressure to raise wages rises as labor markets get tighter and tighter. So the U.S. economy, the Vermont economy, we had been in a long period of economic expansion that started in 2010. So there had been a long period of economic growth. And so employers pre-pandemic were talking about tight labor market conditions. Well, obviously in March of 2020, things really went sideways with this whole COVID situation. And that was a major disruptor, not only for the economy, but also for individuals, their households. And we'll talk more about that, I'm sure, because it still plays big effects in how people make decisions today. But the punchline being that COVID was no help to our tight labor market conditions. And in fact, it's caused more uncertainty and a lot more questions are being raised either by employers or by individuals, workers, about what is right and what is needed as far as a work relationship is concerned. So we have greater than tight labor market conditions than we did pre-pandemic. And we were coming into the pandemic with tight labor market conditions. And there's a lot of data that we can get into that supports that.
So some of the reasons I've heard as to why employers are having a hard time filling job openings currently has to do with workers being concerned about possible COVID infections, childcare concerns. It's been hard for women in particular, I guess, to be able to work and take care of the kids. Salary levels just simply weren't high enough for many people, and the pandemic was sort of also, perhaps unexpectedly, an opportunity for many workers to rethink career choices. They really want to stay in the jobs they were in forever, and that prompted a bit of rethinking around that. But what are you seeing currently? Down here in the Manchester area where I live, I see signs all over the place employers trying to fill jobs. Is that the case pretty much across the state?
I believe so. And just speaking specifically to your area, Manchester, what we saw is that COVID disproportionately impacted certain industries, and therefore certain regions that catered or specialized to those industries were disproportionately impacted. So particularly areas that are known for leisure and hospitality or have a vibrant tourism sector, were disproportionately impacted by COVID. So the Manchester area is one of those areas. So there would be higher rates of disemployment due to this recession. But that help wanted sign situation, I think, runs the spectrum across the state, and it goes across industry. So it's not just leisure and hospitality industries that are trying to hire. It's construction, it's manufacturing, it's healthcare, it is professional and technical services. You know, employers are really looking for workers right now. The competition for work is high. And I think the employers that are innovating and trying to do, trying to look at how they need labor differently and be innovative about how they hire and offer, whether it's wages or fringe benefit packages or flexible scheduling or the ability to telework, those employers that are able to innovate are going to be the ones that are going to be the most successful coming out of this economic downturn.
So Wendy, let me turn to you then. What is your take on what the situation is like down here in the Bennington County area? Is it basically, similar, or are you seeing any kind of unusual circumstances or any trends that are beginning to emerge at this stage of the pandemic era?
I would say that in this area, it is very similar to what we're experiencing statewide. We have ample job openings, and we're still finding it a little bit difficult to engage workforce to meet the demand, you know, the employer demand right now. We do, I don't know if this is a good time, but we do actually have two job fairs coming up in both Bennington and Rutland to try to help meet those demand and connect those two together. We've got a job fair next week in Bennington on Wednesday from 11 to 2, right at the state office building. And we have another job fair in Rutland on Thursday from 11 to 2 at Main Street Park.
Just to kind of build on what Matt was saying there earlier, are you seeing certain industries, more impacted than others? I mean, hospitality seems to be one. Healthcare, one hears a lot about healthcare worker burnout after 20 months or so of really stressful working conditions. Anything that sort of pops out as being an overarching trend?
Yeah, I would definitely say that healthcare is one that we've heard from a lot of employers that have really struggled to try to fill those openings, for various reasons. Manufacturing is one that I think historically there has been some challenges in trying to fill openings, as manufacturing tends to be a little more cyclical, at least in this area, than some other industries. But I would say that, yes, definitely, we're still hearing that it is hard to attract workers.
And I'll throw this out to both of you here. Is there any kind of difference in the sort of demographics of who's leaving jobs to just because for whatever reason they don't it's not working for them? Is this something that affects mainly younger workers or people just starting out, or is it more folks who might be nearing retirement age and just they're kind of saying, I'm going to take early retirement, I don't want to do this anymore, it's not worth it, or is it spread pretty equally across the whole age spectrum from teenager to mid-60s?
I'll start, but I'd be very interested in Wendy's thoughts on this, if she's seeing any differences in terms of who our workforce development partners are working with. I think demographics is always a conversation that needs to be brought up when we talk about the labor force. The leading edge of the baby boomers turned 65 in 2011, which means by 2021, which is where we're at, that the leading edge of the baby boomers is now 75. And so the labor force participation rate of someone over 75 versus over 65 is strikingly different. So even though individuals might have stayed in their late 60s, you know, you start getting into your late 70s, the likelihood of staying in the labor force is much lower. But it's not just a mature worker story in terms of the contraction in the labor force. you know, the early data, which we're still shoring up and adding more information as we learn it, particularly we're waiting on some 2020 census breakout information, which will be folded in at the early part of next year, which will really give us a much richer picture of what happened in 2021. But based on our current limited availability of information we have right now, we're seeing it much more across the board. You know, the labor force participation rate of youth has been declining for two decades. And so that is something that has not changed during COVID. And so, you know, I think it does. And then the childcare issue that hollows out some people in the prime working ages. And also one thing I think we have to talk about, unlike a typical recession where it's either like a supply or demand issue that causes like the gears in the economy to bunch up, with a global health pandemic, it's not just about, you know, production and consumption, but it's now a big question about personal tastes and preferences, where people are now calling into question their whole lifestyle. So if before you had two wage earners in a household, you know, and really living more of a bigger lifestyle, two cars, vacations each year, whatever it might be, you might have said, you know what, I don't think I want to be a part of this anymore. And I think we're going to restructure our household in terms of how our earnings, how we earn money, as well as how we can, as well as how we spend it. And so really changing their lifestyle whole stock. So, and that again is impacting a lot of prime age workers. You know, the van life tagline really is taken off, and you're seeing more and more people do different things. And this is, you know, part of what it means to come out of a global health pandemic.
All right, Wendy, over to you. What are your thoughts on that one?
So I would actually say, and this is just anecdotal information, and it's just in the work that we do, we interact with, you know, a lot of people from all different age demographics. And from what we're hearing and what we're seeing, it's actually the young part of our labor force that are out there. And I feel like to some degree, they're actually bailing out a lot of these employers. Employers have been so willing to hire young folks, even young folks that are still in high school, to, you know, help them out and fill these positions, because it's been the younger generation that we're hearing or seeing that have been so active in engaging with within the labor force. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with the data, you know, as we go forward on that, to see if that labor force participation rate does change for our younger workforce. As far as sort of the rest of the workforce, and in particularly those that are in the, you know, 50, 60, 70 age category, I'm not sure that so much has changed for them, you know, with the pandemic. I think they, 50, particularly 50s and 60s, we have historically had a lot of conversations with individuals that feel like they struggle more at that age demographic to secure employment. I think, you know, their needs are different. They're certainly looking for things that, you know, may be different, their experience. So they generally like to, are looking for a higher wage threshold, you know, many times, maybe sort of thinking about career direction, but may not necessarily be interested in re-engaging in training. And so there seems to be this little mismatch sometimes with that demographic. And I don't believe that we're feeling anything different or seeing anything different on the ground yet with that age demographic.
I was wondering, and Matt, maybe I'll throw this question to you. What is the official unemployment rate in Vermont kind of driven more by, like sort of, you mentioned labor force participation earlier. Is it a case where right now where we're seeing the unemployment rate influenced by the fact that fewer people are working than might have been the case, or as opposed to, let's say, you know, in past years, you know, mass layoffs would be a kind of a driver of unemployment, but doesn't seem to be the case now. But is it more a case of that statistic, which I think is in the 4% range, roughly? And correct me if I'm wrong. I'm sure you know much better than I. But is that the case?
Yeah, so it's odd, right? So traditional economic metrics that people go to during an economic downturn are things like the number of unemployed or the unemployment rate. But both of those levels right now are consistent with pre-pandemic levels. So our unemployment rate now is 3%, which is just slightly above where it was pre-pandemic. The population of the unemployed, as defined by the Bureau of Labor Statistics, again, that's different than someone receiving unemployment insurance benefits. That's a totally different conversation. How many people are receiving unemployment insurance benefits versus who's classified as unemployed from a statistical standpoint. That population is under 10,000, which is similar to what it was pre-pandemic as well. So the big contraction and pullback that we see has been in the labor force. It has been in the number of employed, as you referenced. Just to give you, so those traditional metrics that you look at during an economic downturn aren't telling the full story. But if you switch, which means you have to dig a little deeper, and if you switch to things like the labor force participation rate, you can see that pre-pandemic, Vermont had a labor force participation rate about 66%. Currently, we're at 61%. And that is a massive shift on a number that normally just moves in the tenths of percentiles over a period of time. So that is a huge shift. And again, indicating that the labor force is contracted. We're down about 25,000 individuals pre-pandemic, which is a decline of just over 7%. And again, those are large shifts in the Vermont economy. So 25,000 fewer people in the labor force, again, down about 7%. And during the depths of this recent recession, there was actually some questionnaires that went out to ask these people who they were or what they might be doing. And there was an indication about 10,000 people might not come back to the labor force, 7,500 due to retirement and 2,500 due to a change in disability status. So that 2,500 with a change in disability status plus the 7,500 who indicated that they were contemplating retirement, that's 10,000 people that might not come back to our labor force. So, you know, Vermont, I think, is a state, many states are in this boat, will be asking themselves the question of what does it look like to have a smaller labor force going forward?
Mm-hmm. Wendy, let me go back to you for a second to ask a question I've heard repeatedly said over the past 18, 20 months or so, is that, oh, these people are leaving work because they can do better on unemployment benefits. I mean, in the early stages of the pandemic, and then earlier this year, job benefits or job loss benefits were boosted, and people were able to, I guess, according to some folks, kind of make a go of it, having left their jobs but still receiving these enhanced benefits. Do you think that argument makes sense, or are there other factors like we talked about earlier, childcare and salary and rethinking careers, that are really the real reasons why the labor force participation rate has declined or people are leaving their jobs?
So I think very early on, you know, in the pandemic just completely shook everything up. And definitely there was a significant influx of excess benefits from the federal government. And there was lots of special programming to help relieve the pinch that was being caused by executive orders, you know, whether federal or whether state, where businesses and workers were really negatively impacted by the pandemic. They couldn't go to work. Their places of business were, you know, temporarily shut down. And I do think that there was some merit to, you know, the excess unemployment benefits in some cases did mean that people were receiving more unemployment benefits than they were when they were, you know, earning a paycheck from their place of business prior. That is definitely not the case now. I would say in most cases, that is not the case. All those programs have really sunset, the beginning of September. And I do think that, there was a huge fear factor when COVID first hit, of, you know, people being sort of out in public places and being in places of business. And as things were opening back up and people were transitioning back into the workplace, there was still that fear factor. But now with our vaccination rate the way it is, I still think there is a fear factor for some people, particularly those that have younger members of their family or kids, you know, that may be home that are not eligible for a vaccination yet. I think there's definitely still a reality of fear in the workplace. I also think that there's still a little bit of a fear of the unknowing of what's going to happen with, you know, schools and schools maybe closing, or, you know, children may be exposed and then they have to quarantine at home. And so there's that certainly that happens, and people really needing to make sure that they're in employment settings where they could be flexible around that. And so, you know, if you're looking for a new job, I think that may be a considering factor for some, is just the flexibility. And I do think a lot of people have learned a lot more. I think this is actually the biggest reason why, and Matt hit on this too, of why, of what might be preventing people from returning back to the labor force. And it really is people learned a lot about themselves. And I think, you know, with the pandemic hitting close to home for everybody, you sort of do this self-soul searching and you figure out what's really important and what may not be important. And, you know, what one person might have been doing for a career or work and before the pandemic hit, they may find that that's not hitting their checkboxes anymore. And so they're going through this period of reinventing themselves. And sometimes reinventing takes time.
Mm, interesting. Well, I guess I just wanted to ask you both in a few minutes we have left here. What do you see as the long-term outlook for all of this? How will this play out, do you think? Is there some kind of solution to how we can bring more people back into the labor force more quickly and fill all those jobs and get all those signs on the sidewalk back in the closet again? Or is this sort of a change that's going to really take a long time to kind of play out and right itself? Is there a solution lurking out there that we haven't, it's just a matter of taking some time to bring about?
I can start. I don't know if there is an easy answer to that question, right? So there's a lot of uncertainty associated with even any answer, you know, particularly around COVID, but also even public policy in terms of how our state might react or how our federal government might react. And there could be some large changes that happen as a result of this. But I think if you just kind of take a step back and, you know, from an economist standpoint, I really think about things in terms of pendulums and things swinging back and forth. And, you know, economists, we talk a lot about the equilibrium. Well, we've gone through a significant shock, and it is going to take some time for that equilibrium to find its balance. And we are right now in the middle of it, where it isn't as clear cut as some of the other previous economic downturns, where it's like, well, as soon as we get, you know, consumer sentiment back up and confidence back up, then the wheels will start turning again. You know, there's going to be a lot of moving parts, as we've talked about, not only for businesses, but individuals and households as well. Schools, all these things are kind of in flux. And until, you know, there's a pattern of consistency, you know, it's going to be difficult for, you know, us to kind of get back on a consistent path of like regular traditional economic growth. So I think, you know, there will be a transition period. It is going to be, it could be quite disruptive, or for individuals or households or certain businesses, it's not going to be an even easy recovery. So it will be quite challenging for some. And this can happen with economic downturns. But, you know, that's the beauty of the American system in some ways, is that we believe that innovation, entrepreneurship will actually take the day. And so even though our labor force numbers might be down, our business formation rates are up. And so we take that as a good sign that people are seeing good ideas, seeing ways to contribute to the economy, and seeing opportunities for economic prosperity. And that's ultimately what's going to take us through this. So there's a lot of reasons to be hopeful. In the long run. In the short run, there is going to be some transition, and unfortunately with that can cause some uncertainty and, for individuals.
And your thoughts on that one, Wendy?
Yeah, I would wholeheartedly agree with Matt on that. And I think the equilibrium part and really sort of figuring out and resettling to that new equilibrium, I think that's going to take some changes for both sides, both employers and industry, as well as our workforce. And we've already seen a little bit of that. Again, you know, with the pandemic, I think even employers, the state is certainly in that as well. You know, learned a lot from our experiences of having to go fully remote for so many of us. And I even think we know of employers that had to go fully remote. And their business models are starting to change as a result of that. And I think that's actually a good thing, because workers are also thinking the very same thing. And certainly when you have a business structure that can adapt to the changing demographic of the workforce and the interests of the workforce, I think that employer or business base can certainly be a lot more nimble in responding to that and in attracting and engaging new workers. You know, if you think about the different generations that we have currently comprised of our labor force, you know, those generations, those generational differences they work really well in organizations that can be nimble and respond to those needs and those interests.
The two job fairs mentioned in the conversation will be a good way to hear from would-be employers and would-be employees, so watch for our news segment on that. Meanwhile, for the Gannett TV News Project, I'm Andrew McKeever.
Thank you for listening local. For more local content, visit gnat.tv.